I've been thinking about Easter service all week, and I tell you what, to the world, it don't make sense. The world don't understand what we get out of celebrating a risen Savior. It don't make sense to them. And my mind went to this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to try to preach from it just a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." I thought about Reverend Billy Graham. Some you may like him, may not like him. I don't really know. But the fact of the matter is he reached a lot of people for Christ. The majority of Brother Billy Graham's messages that he preached a lot about the cross. And matter of fact, at the age of 95, the last message that he ever preached was a message of the cross. The cross is the only way that we're going to make it to heaven. I got to thinking about that old song, and I was hoping maybe Sister Paula might sing some of these, but the old rugged cross on a hill far away. Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. He goes on to say that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In that old rugged cross stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and to sanctify me. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. I thought about some of the other songs that was written about the cross. That one that at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. My mind went from there to that old song that Fanny Crosby wrote. You know the story of Fanny Crosby? She was blind, but she said, "One day I shall see my Redeemer face to face." She began to write that song, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain free to all. A healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river." I thought about the one that Donnie Rambo wrote, "I will glory in the cross. In the cross, lest his suffering all be in vain, I will weep no more for the cross that he bore. I will glory in the cross." There was one writer that wrote that when your back is against the wall, remember his was against the cross. This scripture that I just read to you, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." That word foolishness, in the Greek, it means moron. That's where we get our word moron from. You could call me a moron if you want to, but I have been saved. I have been set free. I have been delivered. I'm on my way to heaven. The message that I have tonight, it's shocking The message of the cross, it's a simple message. The message of the cross. I've just got a few short points that I want to bring to you. The first point is the cross proclaimed a statement? Simple. It was, I love you. Two old boards and three rusty nails spelled out the words, I love you. There's a lot of religions that they want you to join, but you have to change some things before you can become a part of the church. They may require you to meet certain requirements. Maybe to have a certain amount of income, or maybe have a certain status in life before you can be qualified to become one of the club, one of the members. You may have to look a certain way, dress a certain way, or act a certain way. But his message was simple. I love you. You remember the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. He chose them not because they was great, not because they was mighty, but because he loved them. The prophet Jeremiah speaks of an everlasting love. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew you before you was even a thought in your parents' mind, and he loved you. Some people, they despise you based on speculation. But God loves you with all the evidence. Some people can just look at me and say, I don't know what it is, Brother Bill, but they look at me and for some reason they don't even know me, but they don't like me. I'm sure you've run across people in your life that they really have no idea of who you are or what you even stand for, but there's just something about you that they can't stand. Am I the only one like that? Thank you, Sister Shelley. That's Sister Paula, wasn't it? I'll talk to you after church. But some people, they'll make an opinion based on speculation. But God had all the evidence of every wrongdoing, everything that I had ever done, everything that I would ever do. And he says, I still love you. That's what three rusty nails and two old boards said, is I love you. The message of the cross. The cross provided salvation. It is the foundation of our faith, the rock of our religion. John said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The cross, we would have no reason to be assembled here if it had not have been for the cross. We'd have no reason or no right to be singing the songs of redemption that we sing if it had not have been for the cross. We'd have no right to celebrate or reason to celebrate Easter if it had not have been for the cross. He would just have been another criminal that hung and died and was buried, and that was it. If it had not have been for the cross. The cross provided salvation. It's a deliverance from the past. What do you mean? Romans tells us in chapter 8 in verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You may say, well, brother, you don't know who I used to be or what I used to do. You don't know where I come from. It doesn't matter. He will cover under the blood. It'll be remembered against us no more. I see people in church and they've got a wonderful testimony. God delivered them from drugs and alcohol and delivered them from all kinds of perverse sins. And I see people that get up and they worship and they say, but you don't know what I used to be like. You don't know what I've done in my past. And they won't share their testimony because it's too vile and they're too ashamed of it. And I've thought to myself, what a wonderful testimony that they have of where God has delivered them from and what God delivered them out of. And I thought to myself, I wished I had a testimony like that. But then God spoke to me. And He said, you've got a testimony because you never went into that. He delivers us from our present. The same graces that brought them out of that kept me from it. The messages of the cross. I want you to get this right. I ain't always been what I should have been. Brother Isaac. But thank God I'm not what I was. There's been a change that has taken place. He's kept me. He's kept me from the drugs, and He's kept me from the alcohol, and He's kept me from going into a world of sin. And I've thought to myself, what a testimony. It's because of the cross. I can look at the drunkard and the homeless on the street, and I can honestly say, but by the grace of God, there goes me. Not only does He deliver us from our past and delivers us from our present, but He delivers us permanently. The salvation of the cross, it provided a permanent solution for an eternal problem. Up until the cross, sin was never fully taken away. It was only covered. Hebrews chapter number 9 in verse 6, he says, is now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second with the high priest alone once every year, not without blood which he offered for himself. and for the heirs of the people. Listen, everyone had a sacrifice that they had to provide. For the rich, they had the bullocks. For the middle class, there was the sheep and the goats. And for the poor, they provided the turtle doves. You remember whenever Jesus came in, you may remember the sermon that I preached not too long ago about setting the doves free. By the time you get to the New Testament, they would come to Jerusalem there and on the high holy days, and they would ask them, I could just imagine what the wife leaning over and asking the husband, did you bring the sacrifice? No, did you bring it? No, don't worry about it. They'll have doves for sale when we get to the temple. We'll just buy one. Sacrifices wasn't meaning anything to them at that point in time. But everyone had an opportunity to bring a sacrifice. I remember in the Old Testament, and whenever they begin to offer sacrifices there in the temple, the high priest would come in, and they had that holes in the walls of just right above the temple floor. The blood would run so thick inside of the temple that it would run out the holes and run down into the Kidron Valley and into the Dead Sea. The blood, symbolic of the sins of the nation of Israel. To be washed down into the Dead Sea. But it was only good for 1 year. That was it. The following year, they would have to redo it again. It was just a covering. That's all it was. But he goes on to tell us in verse number 11, he said, but Christ became a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Neither by blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And our sins were no longer just covered, but they were washed away. Our sins are washed away. Brother Virgil, I wonder if that old Roman soldier knew what he was doing. Whenever Jesus was hanging there upon the cross of Calvary, he spoke the last three and final words, "It is finished." He poked that spear in his side, and forthwith came water and blood. The message of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. There's an old song that says this, dark the stain that spoiled man's nature, long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope and heaven, near to deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain opened, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the souls and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon his throne, and I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. The salvation and the cross gave us a permanent solution for an eternal problem. But not only did it provide salvation, but the cross also created a problem for Satan. Satan is an enemy of God. He's always been an enemy of God. And I want you to understand me. Satan is not worried about you. He's not concerned about you in the least bit in your own ability. But when you become saved, you become a friend of God. You're going to have a fight. And what scares him to death is he knows the fight has already been fixed. You can read in the book of Revelations, he is already doomed. His fate has already been decided. He knows what the outcome is going to be. At the cross, you remember whenever Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, Satan was already beginning to work. The disciples fell asleep. Peter denied him three times. The rulers, the ones that was crying Hosanna just the week before. The rulers brought him before Pilate's hall, and they began to mock him and curse him and begin to beat him. And from there it just got worse. Judas betrayed him. The disciples all abandoned him. He was left all alone. And in my mind, I've thought about the conversation, if you will, that Satan had with death. I can imagine Satan, if you will, just allow me a little bit of liberty tonight. I can just imagine Satan saying to death, "Death, I think we finally got him. I think I can kill him. I've turned the disciples against him. I've turned the rulers against him. The throng is with, they're calling them to give us Barabbas and crucify him. I think we've got it done. Death, do you think you can do your job?" I can imagine Death saying, "Absolutely. I think if you can kill him, I can hold him. I've still got Abraham. I've still got Isaac and Jacob. I've still got the prophets. Matter of fact, John the Baptist, I just got him just a few days ago, and he's still here. I still have him. Satan, do you think you can kill him? I think I can." But something happened. On that first day, Death said, I was able to hold him on the first day. I was able to hold him on the second day. But something strange happened on that third day. He come in and he got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And I don't know what happened, but he's not here anymore. He's risen. You see, the cross caused a problem for Satan. Because he now has power over death, hell, and the grave. I'm glad that we come through Easter triumphantly. I'm glad that we have hope of a resurrection. I'm glad that we have power of the cross. I'm glad we still have hope. This world may seem like it's foolishness to the world, but to us, it is the power. I've done my best tonight. If there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, and I think everybody here is probably saved, but I want to tell you that there is power in the message of the cross. Let's find us a place to pray. Let's seek the Lord a while tonight.